Good evening. I hope you're all well. Please join me with the Anabakoach. Anabakoach, Gedulat Yemincha, Tati Zeru. Aleph Bet Gimel, Yud Tav Study. Kaberinat Arenu Nora Ufreshayan Sintet Nun. And the two letters for the month of Adar, the Kuf, the double agent, and the Gimel, Tzedek. The Kuf created the constellation Dagim, fishes. Na gibor dorshe yehudcha kevavat shamrem. Nun gimel dalad yud kaf shin. Barchem tacharem rachamei sitkatcha tamid gamlem. Betet resh tzadi taf gimel. Chasin kadosh berov tuvcha nael adatach. Et kuf bet tet nun ayin. Yachid geah lamcha penei zokre kedushatach. Yud gimel lamed pei zayin kuf. Shavateinu kabel ushma tziakateinu yodea talumot. Shin Kufav, Tzadi Yud Taf. And the last line is done in a whisper, which we call silently. But I will do it out loud for the purposes of teaching. Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuto Le'olam Va'ed. Now I'm going to be reading from the Zohar a verse. Vayhi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Kunanei Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Kunanehu. Vayomer Aleichem Umay Ka'amar Zeh Hadavar V'gomer Kehu Me'itchem Teruma Itakanu Kulkun L'salka Aleichu U'metal Aleichu Yikara Dekur Siya Garisha L'salka Le'ela. And he said to them, what did he say? This is the thing. Take from among you an offering, Shemot chapter 35, which means prepare yourself, all of you, to bear and carry upon you the honor of the holy throne, which is Malchut, to raise it to Zeranpin. This is a verse that's talking about the building of the Mishkan in the desert. And there are two sets of two parashat describing the building of the Mishkan. One applies before the sin of the golden calf and describes that everyone, including the heir of Rav, were eligible to participate in the building. And the two that are after the sin of the golden calf indicate that it's only the children of Israel who are eligible to participate in the building of the Mishkan. And the words that are used, which is described from this verse, and that's what it's talking about, since the Mishkan was built and then became the temple in Jerusalem. But after that destruction, we still build a temple. We each of us build a temple. We each of us carry the responsibility and the benefits that are associated with being connected to the children of Israel, assuming that is our connection, that is our consciousness, because the term children of Israel is referring to a level of consciousness. It isn't necessarily someone who's born Jewish or converted to being Jewish. It's a level of consciousness. And when you reach that level of consciousness, you have the responsibility of carrying, being a chariot and carrying the throne of Hashem. And being a chariot, meaning just as a chariot is the form of transportation, we have the responsibility to raise Malchut to the level of Zeranpin, the physical world to the level of the spiritual. And that's the purpose of the teaching of the wisdom of Kabbalah, is to give people access to this information. Tonight, we're going to discuss the month of Nisan. We're going to discuss the holiday of Pesach and a few other things that are kind of unusual. But before we do so, I have to ask if anybody has any questions. The way you unmute your phone so that you can ask a question is by pressing *6. So if anybody has a question, please do that and ask your question. All right. The way the codes are working on this call is only I can be heard until I change it to the question and answer mode. But anytime you want to ask a question, you can press *6. So feel free to ask questions as we go along. On March 26th, actually the evening of March 25th, the month of Nisan comes into our universe. And so when it comes into our universe, the Ari teaches us a number of things. Somebody is trying to reach me, so let me see if there's something. Somebody has having some... Does anybody have any questions at this moment?
No.
Okay. Okay, so the month of Nisan is the first month in the Jewish calendar. In the Torah, in the written Bible, the months are not named. And in the Torah, it says that the first month will be the seventh month. And that gets a little bit confusing. So let's try and unravel it a bit. The first month is Nisan. The seventh month is Tishrei. These are names that came from Babylonia. Prior to the destruction of the first temple, these names were not used within the frame of the Bible. They were known because they come from Babylonia. Who else came from Babylonia? Somebody by the name of Abraham. Ben Terach, the son of Terach, who was had a conversation with God, and he was told to leave his country and his father's house and a few other idioms were expressed, all meaningful and all written in the Torah, in the portion of Lech Lecha. And he traveled and eventually found his way to the place that God would show him, which is the land of Israel. But the names of the months were not used. They were numbered. Everywhere in the Torah, they're numbered. And it was only after the return and the second temple was built, and the Talmud, do we record the names of the months. But actually, our tradition teaches that Abraham wrote a 400-chapter book of outreach. Not proselytizing, but of outreach. He wrote a book which we call, tradition teaches, is the Sefer Yetzirah. There's a number of different traditions, but the most universal one is a book called the Sefer Yetzirah. That book was written, according to tradition, by Abraham the patriarch, for the purposes of teaching his generation how to connect and how to experience God, how to experience Hashem. And the techniques that are taught, I'm jumping ahead of myself. The Sefer Yetzirah, those 400 chapters, the purpose of which was to teach people there is one God, and this is how to know that that's true. Don't believe a word we say. Experience it for yourself, because that is the only way that someone learns and someone knows, only through your own experience. Those 400 chapters have been lost. In my opinion, not truly lost, but spread throughout the wisdoms of the Talmud and other commentaries throughout from the sages throughout the generations. But we have a book that we call today the Sefer Yetzirah that has 6 chapters. And those 6 chapters are a technique of meditation in order to experience God. They utilize the Hebrew letters. They utilize other techniques. They describe the Sfirot. They describe techniques of how to connect through this experience. And they do describe the laws of spirituality, the laws of the spiritual world. And they also describe other aspects, most of which this is not taught today. For the most part, the Sefer Yetzirah is not taught as an experience. It's taught as a intellectual exercise of academia. But within the Sefer Yetzirah, we are taught the names of the months, and we are taught, as well as in the Talmud, we are taught the names of the months. And we are taught, not so much in the Sefer Yetzirah, but in the tradition of the Kabbalists and the writings of the Kabbalists, primarily the Ari, we are taught that there is the first month of the year is Nisan, and the seventh month of the year is Tishrei. The seventh month of the year represents actual. The first month of the year represents potential. So we have 6 months of potential and 6 months of actual. And different things happen in those patterns. The first half of the year is represented by spring and summer, the second half by fall and winter. In Rosh Hashanah, in Tishrei, the 22 days of the Hagim, of the holidays, we are actually die and are reborn and go through 22 days in which we have the potential of being, of growing from birth to maturity for this year. And during those 22 days, which I don't want to get into the details of for this discussion, during those 22 days, we are judged and receive and are written in this book of life, and it's basically this concept of what is the quality of our life going to be? What is our life? What is the quality of it? How are we, what, how much money we're going to earn that year, how, what quality of life we're getting, are we going to get sick or not, etc. Are we going to pass away or not? All of this kind of discussion. What is the judgment of your life is the month of Tishrei. The month of Nisan, which is controlled by the planet Mars. And essentially, most people know that the planet Mars controls wars. So the month of Nisan, which represents the potential, is controlling battles, wars, conflicts. And the Ari teaches us that the first day, the first 12 days of the month of Nisan, we have an ability to control at its ultimate seed level all of those conflicts that are going to come into our life over the next 12 months. So that on the first day of Nisan, we connect to the month of Aries, the month of Nisan. And by doing a certain ritual, which I'll explain in a little bit, which takes maybe 5 minutes, we are able to control all of those battles, all of those conflicts that are going to come into our life in the month of Nisan. And on the second day, we are able to do that for the month of Taurus. And in the third day, for the month of Sivan. And for the fourth day, for the month of Tammuz. And so on, until on the 12th day, we are able to do that for the month of Pisces. Now, in the Torah, in the section of Naso, the Parasha of Naso, which is the second portion in the book of Bamidbar, we have a really very strange situation. We have the dedication of the Mishkan taking place on the first day, actually the first 12 days of the month of Nisan in the second year after the Exodus, which is when the Mishkan was actually dedicated and started to be used. Now each, the Midrash says, and what's unusual about this Torah reading is that each day a different Nasi, a different leader brought the information, brought his contribution, brought his sacrifices for the Mishkan. except that each of this 12 leaders brought exactly the same thing. And yet, the Torah writes all of these verses the same way. It says that the Nasi of the tribe of Judah, Nachshon ben Abinadav, brought so many talent, so much wagons, so many bulls, so many sheep, so many things of silver, and it describes it. And then on the second day, it says the Nasi from the next tribe, which is the month of Tammuz, and a tribe that controls the month of Tammuz. I'm not looking at the Torah, so I don't remember exactly the connection. I think it's Shimon, actually. But those verses are exactly the same. And we have a very strong tradition that teaches us there is no letter in the Torah that is wasted. No letter can be added, no letter can be taken away. They each are connected to an individual soul of the Jewish world, and they are each connected to parts of creation. We know it would be very easy for Hashem to have written that the leaders of the tribes each day brought a contribution to the Mishkan, and each of the 12 brought the same contribution, but for different reasons. Because we have a midrash that explains the consciousness of each of these 12 men and why they chose to bring the things that they brought. But we don't have that. We have the Torah telling us, duplicating for each person these same verses. And the Ari comes and explains that this is our connection. So I'm going to give you a link to part of the website that I have built that gives you all of these connections each day. The link is www.yeshem.com. Yeshem is spelled YeshShem.com. The link is yeshem.com/holidays with a capital H and everything else small, /Pesach, P-E-S-A-C-H, capital P, everything else small. When you do that link, you're going to see a whole bunch of files. And since the actual file is a little long to describe over the phone, click on the one that says the initial email. And when you click on that, it's going to give you links. One link is my writing about what this is about and how I proved it to myself. Because as we have always said, do not ever believe a word I say. But please try to experience it. Try it for yourself and see if it works for you. I know it works for me, and that's why I do it. That's why I teach it. So one of the links will take you to an explanation of it. The other links will take you day by day to a page for that day, which has the verses that you are to read or to scan. It specifies the verse numbers so that you can read it from a Tanakh if you wish. It also gives you the meditations of the letters of the month, because that's part of the ritual that you need to deal with. But ultimately, all battles that you will experience during the year are dealt with from from this, you're able to take control, and I explain in the writings what control means. You're able to take control of the battles in your life for the next year. And the most important battle of the next year is your battle against your desire to receive for yourself alone, your selfishness. And that is the essence of the most important battle we all face every day. And this ritual will help you win that battle. You won't win the war, because that's going to take the level of the Messiah, the Mashiach. That's going to take support from everybody else in the universe. But you can win the battle every day. And that's what this ritual will help you accomplish during these 12 days. On the 13th day, you have the opportunity of connecting to any day that you might have missed, because you get to do all 12 days over again, because 13 is the gematria of the Hebrew word echad, which means one, which means unity. So on the 13th day, we're able to do all of these 12 months at once. If you missed a month, you can make it up. Try not to miss a month. Try to do it every day. On the 13th, you then just strengthen your connection for all of those 12 days. Now, this is a year that's a very unique year. The sun was created on the fourth day of creation, along with the moon, along with the stars. And every 28 years, the sun returns to its location in the sky that it was on at its moment of creation. And so we are instructed to do a particular ritual on the 14th day of the month, the 14th day of Nisan. Right now, if you go to that website, it does not have anything about this. This is called the Bracha Chachama, the blessing of the sun, and it's something we only do every 28 days. By the time the 14th of Nisan comes around, which is on April 8th in the Gregorian calendar, I will have the ritual so that you will know what to do. It will be described. There will be a link that will take you to it. But the idea of this 28-year cycle connects to the 28 times that is written in Kohelet. Kohelet is, what is the English word? Ecclesiastes. There is a time to live, and there's a time to die. There's a time to plow. There's a time to seed. There's a time to make war. There's a time to have peace. All of those 28 times that you've heard about throughout your life and have never truly understood. The 28-year cycle represents the Hebrew word koach, kaf chet, 28. Koach means power. The 28-year cycle represents the seven spherot of direct light and the seven spherot of returning light in both the pure system and the impure system. And the purpose of doing this ritual of the blessing of the sun is to take control of those 28 cycles those 28 times, those next 28 years. What happens if I can't see the sun? Can I still do the blessing? And the answer is, and it will be written as part of what I say, the halakha says, even if you can see it just a little bit, but if it's truly covered by clouds and you cannot see the sun well, then say it, do the actions that will be described without saying the blessing. But your consciousness will help you take control of those 28 times. There's a reason we live in a place where the sun could not be seen. But it's not something to be worried about. Try and see it. Take a look at it as best you can. Make the connection, because your consciousness will prevail. Normally, what it takes place on the morning of the 14th of Nisan is something that took place the night of the 13th, which is still the 14th as far as the Jewish calendar. On the night of the 13th, we do a chametz search. Chametz is the Hebrew word that means the desire to receive for itself alone, as represented in the vegetable kingdom, through the concept of the expansion of wheat as it rises, as bread rises, as wheat products rise, because of the can't think of the word, but it the yeast that is always infested and injected into wheat products, grain products. Yeast rises. Wheat represents the desire to receive, and when it's baked into bread, it becomes the desire to receive for oneself alone, because it represents the ego that is puffed up, that expands, not necessarily for a reason. That night, having spent the last 4 weeks, meaning the 2 weeks after Purim and the 2 weeks leading up to Pesach, having spent those 4 weeks cleaning, spring cleaning, but not spring cleaning. Yes, you clean your house. Yes, you look for chametz, which is any wheat product and a bunch of other stuff. Any grains. Yes, we clean. But we're really not physically cleaning, even though that's the action we do in the physical world. We are cleaning ourselves. We are cleaning our desire to receive for oneself alone. The more effort one invests in cleaning, preparing for Pesach, the more one is cleansing oneself in order to receive the light of Hashem, the beneficence of Hashem, which will take place, the revelation of the Exodus, the revelation of the transformation from Egypt, which represents narrowness and limitation, into the expansion of the redemption, going out of that narrow place, that Egypt, that, and coming into the place where we're connected to Hashem. That transaction, that takes place on the night of the 15th. On the night of the 14th, we complete all of our cleaning. On the morning of the On the night of the 13th, we complete all of our cleaning. On the morning of the 14th, we burn our chametz. Why do we burn it? What does burning do? It destroys it. We have removed our ego based on the amount of effort we've injected. As we inject this, effort, every year we have this same cycle on the morning of the 14th of burning our chametz. But this year, being the year of the 28 cycles, the 28-year cycle, we have the opportunity to bless the sun as well. Now, there's circulation, there's rumors and stories going around the internet, and I've not verified this, but the rumor is that there's only three times in the history of the world that the 28-year cycle corresponds to the 14th of Nisan. The first time was the actual Exodus itself, leaving Egypt. The second time was during the events of Purim in Babylonia with Esther and Mordechai that we read in the scroll a few weeks ago. And this is the third time. So there are lots of stories about what's going to happen this coming year based on the amazing connection of the blessing of the sun. Disregard all the hype. Do the ritual in order to take control of the 28 years. Because Mashiach can come tomorrow. And you'll still need to control the 28 years. It will be a different world. But as the prophecies state, the only difference will be the way the nations treat the Jews. But as far as being able to see any difference from one day to the next with the coming of Mashiach, that will be the only difference. Everything else in our life will remain the same. It will change, but it will remain the same. So with that in mind, I caution you. Search for the chametz, bless the sun, and prepare for Passover, prepare for Pesach. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit about Pesach. The more you know about Pesach, the better. We refer to the night of Pesach, the night of the 15th of Pesach, as the Seder, which is the Hebrew word that means in order. If you know a little bit of Hebrew and somebody asks how you are, you're taught to answer beseder, in order. Everything is okay. But if you're preparing for a battle, you want to put things in order. You want to put your house in order, and you want to take control of the astrology to put it in order, and every other level of consciousness to put things in order, the Seder. The night of the 15th is the Seder. In the Torah readings of this coming Shabbat, being the Shabbat before the Rosh Chodesh Nisan, we will read a special maftir of about 22 verses, I believe it is. Chapter 12 of Exodus of Shemot. And it describes the first mitzvah given to the Jewish nation even before the redemption. And it says that on the 10th day of Nisan, you go out in front of the Egyptians and you take a sheep, you take a lamb, the god of Egypt, and you tie it up and take it into your house for the next 4 days. And then on the 15th, you go out and slaughter it in a ritual kosher manner in front of the Egyptians. Now, we live in a world that's got a lot of different issues with it, so I will describe it a little bit by saying, if you were to go to Bombay, India, and put a rope around the neck of one of the cows that are walking around, there would be a whole bunch of people that would try and stop you. Because in their world, the cow is a god, and is not to be changed or limited in any way. And if you then, after a few days of having this cow tied up by your house, attempted to slaughter it, there would be many more people attempting to stop you from doing that action. This is the description of what Hashem is telling the Jewish nation in Egypt. You've been slaves for 210 years, and your masters believe that this lamb, this baby lamb, this beautiful animal with the white skin that gives you wool, this beautiful animal is a god, and you shouldn't touch it. You should revere it. So don't put a rope around its neck, but you're doing that on the 10th day of Nisan. That's what the Torah tells us to do. Why don't we do it in today's world? I know people in Israel who do. We call them Kabbalists. We live in a society that doesn't really make it easy to do that, so I don't recommend it. I personally will not be tying up a lamb and having it live in my house. But it's the idea of taking control of the Aries, who represents the ram or the lamb, taking control of that month, and then slaughtering them in a kosher manner, so I'm going to eat it, which is the ultimate form of control. So, on the 15th day of Nisan, the night of the 14th, which is the 15th, we have a Seder. And we have a Seder that has a bunch of rituals, all connected to various aspects of putting our lives in order. It's not a family dinner. It's a technique to put your life in order. So where should you have it? Whose house should you go? Your sister-in-law's, your brother-in-law's, your mom's, your dad's? Should I have Pesach at my house, or I have Pesach at mom's house? Should I have Pesach? Whose turn is it? These are the issues that families face in deciding about the Seder, because the Seder has become a family gathering. All I can tell you is I have not had the Seder with my children or my family for 15 years, 18, 19 years. Last year, my children, who are now getting to the point they have children of their own, it's important to them. They're involved with Judaism on a level that is different than mine. And it's important. They knew that the Pesach Seder is important. So, one daughter said, everybody's coming over. And everybody came over. And they had the largest family fight in the history of their memory. The Seder is about controlling and putting things in order. If it's not done properly, you're going to manifest a year of battles. Chas v'shalom. The idea of the Seder, the initial ritual, is to take a plate. Actually, most people take two plates. And they take one plate and they make three matzot. And one they call Abraham, and one they call Yitzhak, and one they call Jacob, which is related to the Sfirot, the upper Sfirot, actually the lower Sfirot. But the three matzot represent the three upper Sfirot of the putting your life in order. And if you follow the ritual of the Haggadah, the storytelling, it will tell you, when you tell this part of the story, open up the matzah. Uncover the matzah. When you tell this part of the story, cover up the matzah. And all of that ritual and those instructions and directions are designed to know when it is time to conceal the upper worlds and when it is time to reveal the upper worlds. And then the next step is essentially to create the Seder plate. The Seder plate consists of six items. They represent the Sfirot, the lower Sfirot from Chesed, and Gevura, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, resting on a plate which represents Malchut. The first item that you put on the plate is a roasted shank bone. Some people do chicken, some people do lamb bone. It represents the neck, the narrow part, and you burn it, you roast it, meaning you limit narrowness, which is the idea of chesed, of expansion, of sharing. And so the Zeruah, which is the name in Hebrew of this item, is put on the plate in the position of Chesed, on the right side of the plate, the right column at the top. And the next item is called Beitzim, Hebrew for eggs. And it goes on the left side of the plate, and it represents a very interesting aspect. Whenever you cook a food, no matter what it is, it gets soft and mushy the longer you cook it, all except for an egg. An egg gets harder and harder and harder until it finally bursts. When we are put under pressure, will we become soft and malleable? Will we make change? Or will we break? Will we burst? The Beitzim, the eggs, on the left represent the Sfira of Gevurah. Now, the third item we put on the plate, if you'll give me a minute to find the right picture, the third item is maror. It's called the bitter herbs. It's horseradish. And it represents Tiferet, the center column. And maror really is kind of hard to understand. Maror has a gematria of 446. Hamavitz has a gematria of 446. Hamavit means the death. Excuse me, Mavit has the gematria of 446. The essence of horseradish is for us to die, meaning take control of death, meaning the central column, which is balance. The fourth item is Haroset. Haroset Haroset is this wonderful tasting stuff that the Ari tells us is supposed to have 10 ingredients, 7 fruits and 3 nuts. And these 10 ingredients represent the 10 spherot. And Haroset, everybody has a recipe for Haroset. There's a Haroset from Eastern Europe, and there's a Haroset from Persia, from Morocco. There's even Haroset from the Caribbean, which is mostly mango. It's wonderful stuff. I highly recommend you look it up on the internet for the recipes, and you try and taste some of it and have different Haroset on your table. But the idea of Haroset, which is something that looks like mortar, goes in the portion of Netzach, which means eternal victory. And then the next item, which goes on the left, is karpas, parsley. But karpas has a connection to Hod. It has an connection to the desire to receive as a vegetable. We usually put it with salt, which is a right column item. Just like with bread, we eat our bread on Shabbat with salt and should be all times. Your first piece of bread that you eat after you wash and say hamotzi should be done with salt. Karpas represents that idea. And then we have something called chatzeret. Now chatzeret is lettuce. It's not head lettuce. But it's lettuce. I forget the name of it. The type of lettuce. But it's connected to channeling, and represents, if you look at the particular type of lettuce that I'm talking about, I apologize for my memory. It'll come to me. But it represents a channel. And that's what the Yesod is. It channels all of the different energies into our physical world. And that's the seventh item, is the plate itself, which represents Malchut. So we have 10 items in our Seder plate. The 3 matzot, which represent the upper spherot, and the 7 lower spherot, represented by the Seder plate. And now it's time for the 15 steps of the Seder itself. I'm just going to read the names because we don't really have the time to go into each item in depth. Kadesh comes from Kadosh. Urchat is a word that's coming from not Hebrew, but from Aramaic. Karpas, parsley. Yachatz, an Aramaic word. Magid, the storytelling. Raktsa, motzi. Matzah. Maror, korech. Shulchan orech. Tzafun, barech. Halel, nirtza. 15 steps. There are some Haggadot that say there are 14 steps. They're doing exactly the same, but they've combined two. And understand, why is there 15 steps in putting things in order? Because you want to connect to the Yud-K, to the upper worlds. And why is there 14 steps in putting things in order? Because 14 represents the yad, the Hebrew word for hand. And your hand represents your manifestation, how you do things in the physical world. So whether you want to connect with the spiritual or you want to connect with the physical, both aspects need to be put in order. The Seder is your opportunity to do that. I highly recommend you make arrangements to attend the Seder. Now, just to give some clarity, there are two Seders. One is the first night and one is the second night. But that is not in Israel, only outside of Israel. Because we have a tradition in the teaching and that every holiday is done one day in Israel and 2 days outside of Israel. And the explanation is, in the old days, when we would declare the new month based on who saw it and being interrogated by the court called the Sanhedrin in Jerusalem, we did not know when the month started. So to be safe, we did the rituals both days. But people will tell you, but I can read the calendar today. I know when the full moon is. I know when the first new moon is. There's no reason to do 2 days outside of Israel anymore. And the spiritual law is very simple and very clear. There are people who, over the centuries, their consciousness has created essences, pathways, in the spiritual worlds. There's no disappearance in spirituality. A law, a rule. Believe it or don't believe it. We have a tradition that goes back 2,500 years. In this tradition, it's not a tradition, but in this pattern of teaching, 2 days outside of Israel means that people who live outside of Israel need this extra additional energy that's represented by the second Seder. Try and go to two. If you can only have one, understand what that means. It's just a little less energy. But you're putting your life in order with any Seder you attend. But the more knowledgeable the people at the Seder are, the more beseder, the more in order, the quantum consciousness of that group of people will be. I'm going to call the discussion to a close. I know there's a lot of unanswered statements. There's much more that can be taught. I only have an hour today. I'm going to open it up for questions. But I strongly recommend you listen to this recording again and that you go to the website and connect with the ritual of the 12 days, the 13th day, the 14th day, and participate in the Seders, because you have a unique opportunity this year that only comes once every 28 years. Are there any questions?
No, can you hear me?
I can, Margie.
Hi. Enoch, I just wanted to clarify something. In Hebrew, chazeret means horseradish, not lettuce.
Okay, I thank you for that. I'm not sure. I don't remember what I said, and I will accept that.
You will.
Chazeret means horseradish. It's interesting, because maror is what we call...
Well, maror is like the bitterness. Maror is bitter. Bitter, like we said.
Right. We chew the maror to take, to transform bitterness into sweetening the bitter.
Right. And chazeret is the exact translation of horseradish.
Okay, so maybe we were using this from the Aramaic, and it may be a different word in Aramaic. But I know it's connected to the lettuce, and it's connected to the chas. If you look at the word chaseret, I have to look at it real quick because I don't have it in front of me anymore.
Chaser or chaser?
Chaser is... No, I'm. Excuse me. I was thinking of the karpas.
Wow. I think that the karpas is like parsley or lettuce, maybe.
Okay. I'll look it up if anybody has any questions.
Thank you. Please let me know.
Sure. Send me an email with the question, so I'll remember to research it.
I will.
Are there any other questions? Margie, I thank you for that. I always appreciate.
Anytime, if you have any question from Hebrew to English, anytime.
Understood. Any other questions before we leave the session? Baruch Adonai Leolam, Amen V'Amen. Good night, all. I wish you well.
Good night and thank you.
Good night, thank you.